Today we're continuing a series called Tip of the Spear. We started this last Sunday and it's going to take us through Easter. And the topic that we're going to talk about is letting God pierce your heart. So I want to talk with you about that. One of the most common spiritual conditions that you'll find yourself struggling with is, if you don't keep yourself in check, is a hard heart. In a world where we're surrounded by confusion and injustice, and where right is wrong and wrong is right, we're going to face more and more temptation to have a hard heart and to allow our hearts to be hardened. And we do this to protect ourselves. It's in many ways a defense mechanism. And this is one of the things Jesus was screaming from the cross, was don't let your heart become hard, no matter what they do to you, no matter what happens to you, no matter what difficulty you face, and not even that, for us, whatever mistakes you make. Marriages get destroyed by hard hearts. Families separate because of hard hearts. Friendships run away because of hard hearts. Churches stagnate because of hard hearts. God gets pushed away by hard hearts. Nothing good ever comes from a hard heart. So there are four conditions that indicate I've got a hardened heart. One is not seeing. Another is not hearing. You'll understand what this means in a little bit. Another is not understanding. And the other one is not remembering. But for some reason, we're fooled into believing that hardening our hearts is for our protection. It's the remedy. It's the answer for our hurt and pain and frustration. But instead, it only makes things worse. Haven't you noticed? Jesus talked about the importance of guarding your heart, and he said this. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Also believe in me." Now, what is he saying? In essence, he's saying, your heart is your decision. The condition of your heart is your decision. The implication here is that you have control over your heart. You can choose to let your heart be troubled or not, which is good news, because that means I don't have to wait on someone else to do it, and I certainly don't have to hope that somebody doesn't hurt me to keep me from having a good heart. But to keep a soft heart, a pliable, moist, and peaceful heart, we have to see, hear, understand, and remember. One day, Jesus went out by the lake. Imagine being able to walk out by the lake and all of a sudden crowds start gathering around you. That's what happened to Jesus. So many people gathered around him that he had to get on a boat and put down an anchor just far enough out that the people could hear him and they could see him. He told them many parables that day, and this is one of them. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever hears, has ears, let them hear. All right, so Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So he tells this story, and he says, whoever has ears, let them hear what I'm saying here. And then the disciples come to him, and they said, Jesus, we don't get it. What was the point of that story? Why are you speaking in parables? You're speaking in words that we don't understand. In other words, they were making a suggestion on how Jesus should teach. That's pretty funny, isn't it? How he could do his job better. Jesus answered them by saying this, though seeing, they do not hear. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. He says, I want to heal them. But they have to turn. They have to listen. They have to see. They have to understand. They have to open their hearts. It's like a teenager walking into the kitchen and looking in the refrigerator. I can see Will doing that probably, just standing there staring in the refrigerator for an hour, right? There's nothing to eat. Just staring. Close the refrigerator. Take a picture. Close it. Then figure out what you want to eat, right? That's what we're thinking. It's me looking for something my wife sent me to Walmart. I can see, but I can't see. I'm seeing, but I'm not getting it. This is what I'm looking for, and I'm not seeing it. I need to move stuff around or something. Being hard-hearted is hearing, but not computing. Being hard-hearted is hearing and seeing, but not understanding. Hard-heartedness makes us miss things that are even obvious. A hard-hearted husband sees and hears something completely different than his wife is saying. Ladies, you ever been there? Uh-huh. We had good participation with that one. A hard-hearted teenager completely misses the point that their parents are trying to make, don't they? They miss it. Their parents are trying to communicate love, but the teenager just, when they're hard-hearted, they can't hear it and they can't see it, and the parent is frustrated. A hard-hearted person can come to church and they can see, but not really see. They hear, but they're hearing something completely different than what's being said from the pulpit. All they can hear is what they think, and all they can see is what they see, because they're hard and they don't want, they're not able to. But a person whose heart is soft, they see and they hear what God really wants to hear and what God really wants them to hear and see. They hear and see what God is teaching them, and they understand what God is doing. Soft-hearted people are able to come to church and freely worship and hear the sermon and soak it in and receive what God is saying and not feel that anxiety and that frustration and that hurt and that, ugh. During the service, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, showing them things, preparing them for the things that are to come. A soft heart is what it takes. But when we're hard-hearted, we can't hear. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. Not only that, but we misinterpret. And we misunderstand, and we leave more confused than when we came. There's something in the human brain that doesn't spiritually work because a person's heart has hardened. There's something spiritually that doesn't work. But then, on the opposite side, there's something in the human brain that does spiritually work when a person's heart is soft. There's something spiritual that does work. But here's the beauty of it. Let me remind you, this is our choice. We're either going to harden our hearts towards Him or we're going to soften our hearts. Listen, it doesn't take much for our hearts to be hardened and we miss out on important things in our lives. Excuse me for a second. Any kind of threat can harden our hearts. In Relate Journey 2, we teach that there are three threats in life. Somebody tell me what they are. Security, significance, social status, and intimate relationships. So our security is our basic needs in life. Food, clothes, water, air, place to live, job, our support system. Basic needs that we need, the things that we need to live in life. Anytime our security is threatened, we have a threat and there's a problem. And it can cause us to start going down the path of a hard heart. If we are lacking security, if we're lacking these things in our life for an extended period of time, we can allow our hearts to become hardened. The threats of life will do this to us. Significance is about your position in life, how others are treating you, if people look down on you or push you aside. For your significance to be threatened, people don't even have to intentionally do it. All you have to do is believe that it's happening. If someone cuts you off on the road, what's your instant reaction? Oh, they think they're better than me. They think where they're headed is more important than where I'm headed. They've got that car and it's better than my car. And we immediately start going down this road of comparing them with ourselves. And it's so easy for us to just go down there when the truth is, it's possible they just didn't even see us because they didn't look. And it had nothing to do with us being less than them. But that's where our brain goes. Significance is your positions, or it's your different positions in life. Maybe it's you're a father, maybe you're a mother, maybe you're a child, maybe you're a grandparent, your positions in life. Maybe it's a position at work. It also has to do with how others are thinking of you and what you think others think about you. We're always trying to manage that in our lives. And I found that the people who say they don't care about this, and it's really funny because when I'm going through a relate session with somebody, normally it's the Christians that when we get to this spot, they say, oh, I don't care what others think about me. Not at all, not at all. The truth is they're blind to it. And because this is something our brain is continually working on. So our significance, that's threat number two. Number three is intimate relationships. If someone you love or want to love is going to walk away from you or is going to be taken away from you, that's a huge threat. These are the three threats in life. And God says, here's what God says. He says, listen, don't be afraid of those. You should be afraid of me. And I've removed all the threats. If you're afraid of anything or anybody, be afraid of me, God says. He says, I'm the one that has control over your soul. So let those things go. And here's the thing. Not properly dealing with these threats in our lives develops a hard heart. When I'm not taking these threats to God, I develop a hard heart. The trials of life give you the choice to either make your heart hard or your faith resilient. Those are the choices we've got. I'm either going to make my heart hard or I'm going to make my faith resilient. You choose. One day Jesus was teaching, and there were more than 4,000 people that had been listening to him for about 3 days. Jesus knew that if he let these people go, that they'd have to walk home without any food. He's like, man, they're not going to make it. He was concerned about their security, their food. He was concerned about it. So he asked the disciples, hey, guys, do we have any food? Do you have anything that we have? They said, well, we've got 7 loaves of bread. Well, previously, Jesus had already fed more than 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and a few fish. So they found a few fish here, and they had 7 loaves of bread, and Jesus did the same thing. He multiplied it and miraculously fed everybody. He was concerned about their security. The disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, and they put them on the boat, and the scripture says that they crossed over, and they went to another place, and when they got off, they started doing things. The Pharisees immediately started coming over and causing problems. They started asking Jesus questions and, you know, just trying to mess with him. And Jesus was like, all right, let's get out of here. So they got back on the boat, but here's what's interesting. They forgot to put the bread back on the boat. Let me read the story to you. The disciples had forgotten to bring the bread. That is such a funny statement. The disciples forgot to bring the bread. These are the guys that started the church 2,000 years ago. They forgot the bread. And except for 1 loaf they had on the boat, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke 7 loaves for 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said, do you still not understand? All right, so let's do the story here. Jesus had just fed more than 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few sardines. There were 7 basketfuls of bread left over. They put them on the boat, crossed over. The Pharisees messed things up. They got back on the boat, left the 7 basketfuls of bread, and they're on the water. They're coming along here, and all of a sudden they're like, wait a second. We forgot the bread. Oh no, this is the problem. Jesus is going to be upset. And Jesus is over there, and he's thinking about something completely different. And he wants to teach them something that just happened back on shore. He says, hey guys, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Be careful. And the guys are over there, oh man, he's mad about the bread. He's upset about the bread. This is not a good thing. Why did they think? Well, he mentioned yeast. He was saying a little yeast leavens the whole. You understand the concept there. He's talking about the sin, and he's talking about the hardened hearts that these guys have. And they're thinking, man, it's because we have no bread. That's what they said. Oh, he's upset. And Jesus, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? How were they threatened? They were threatened in their significance and their relationship. Their significance was threatened, and their intimate relationship with Jesus was threatened. They were afraid that he was going to discard them. And he says, why are you talking about having no bread? I'm trying to teach you something, and you're completely missing the point. You're only thinking about the bread. I'm teaching you about these guys who have hard hearts. Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? And so here are the four conditions. One is not seeing, another is not hearing, and another is not understanding, and the other one is not remembering. Those are the four conditions that we're in when we have a hardened heart. Your hardened heart will keep you from seeing truth, no matter how blatant it is right in your face. Jesus had just fed 4,000 plus people with 7 loaves of bread. They've got 1 loaf of bread and 13 guys on the boat. And Jesus is asking, do you still not get it? I'm the bread maker. I can make as much bread as we need. Do you still not get it? They could see, but they were blind. They could hear, but they were deaf. They could reason, but they had no understanding. So here's the question. Why is our world so filled with hatred and anarchy and godlessness today? There's one answer. It's because of hardened hearts. When we see them burning the cities, all the stuff that's been going on, it's hardened hearts. That's all it is. Seeing the truth, hearing the truth, and understanding the truth are impossible for us when we have a hard heart. You see, worse than the disciples being concerned about not having any bread was their sudden misunderstanding of who Jesus is. They thought he was going to be angry or upset. They completely misunderstood who he is. They absolutely went the wrong direction about who he is in this situation. Oh man, he's over there. He's talking about the bread. What are we going to do? Peter, it was your fault. No, it wasn't. It was John's fault. No, it wasn't. And they start blaming each other. You can imagine. All too often when things go wrong in life, we begin to believe in a different Jesus than the real Jesus. Real Jesus is long-suffering. Real Jesus is love. Real Jesus is forgiving. And real Jesus is merciful. Real Jesus is good. Real Jesus has a soft heart. But a hard heart that believes he's everything but those, and a hard heart that can't hear, can't see, can't begin to understand. Kate, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but one of the things that she shared in one of the journey classes recently was, God is teaching me. He's teaching me. She said, before I'd pick up the Bible and I couldn't understand a word of it. didn't make sense. But now he's teaching me. There's a reason, Kate. Because you let him pierce your heart with his peace, with his love, and it's soft. You see, a hard heart has forgotten. Jesus said, do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And then he asked this question, and don't you remember? Don't you remember? Remember what? He then reminds them of the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. And then he reminds them of the 4,000 with 7 loaves. And he says, do you still not understand? It's right in front of your eyes. How many times have you watched the news in the last year and you're like, how do these people not get it? You know what I'm saying? It's right in front of our eyes. Here's the truth. Here's reality. Boom. How do we miss it? And this is what Jesus was dealing with, all because of one little threat that they had. Who forgot the bread? The truth was, the disciples had nothing to worry about, but they had completely forgotten who Jesus is, what he was like, how he would treat them. And for the next few minutes, let me ask you, would you just take some time and remember? Don't be afraid to look back and remember. Some of you, when you look back, all you remember is the bad. But I want you to look back and remember the moments where God took care of things that could not have been taken care of. Where God took care of the details in your life that you knew, that you knew, that you knew it was God. And then even though you went through a hard time, you knew it was God. Remember that God brought you through that. Remember the storms that you survived in life. Remember the details that were taken care of that you could not orchestrate, that it was obvious that it was God that took care of it. And you see, asking why you went through the storm or tragedy hasn't helped you, has it? Why did I have to go through that? But remembering who went through the storm with you is where you're going to find the peace that you need in your heart. Why brings hardness, but who brings softening of the heart? January in 2017, I had went for our financial review for the church for the 2016 stuff, and at the end of the review, the gentleman looked at me and he said, all right, I need to ask you a question. Where are you keeping the finances for the church, all of the paperwork and stuff? And I said, well, it's in my attic. He goes, oh, goodness. And he knew that we had a storage unit because he had seen it on the paperwork. And he said, you need to go home and you need to immediately get that stuff out of your attic and put it in storage. Okay. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's fine. A few months later, Angela and I were talking about going on vacation. And I was like, oh, God, we can't afford vacation this year. Guys, you've been there. And I didn't see how we could swing it financially, but I sensed a peace about it. If I had inquired of Dave Ramsey, he probably would have said, John, you're crazy. Don't even begin to look that direction, you know? But I sensed a peace. All right, let me book it. We'll do it. And not only did I book it, but we booked the longest vacation we had ever planned. I was really going after this. It was like a 2-week vacation, 10 days at the condo. We were looking forward to it. But honestly, there were a couple of times I thought, man, I need to cancel this. This is not going to be good. But the Lord provided and he made a way for it. And August came and we left for the beach, and a few days in, I was sipping some coffee out on the balcony looking over the waves crashing down there on the shore, and I was enjoying myself, and my phone rang, and I answered the phone, and it was my neighbor, and my neighbor said, hey, John, I have called 911. Your house has been struck by lightning, and it's on fire. I said, is it bad? Because I'm thinking, well, you know, it's just smoldering. No, it's bad. And I thought, oh, no, this is not good. Well, over the next year, we would face some serious trials and struggles. And along the way, there were a lot of nuances, the things that should have been easy, the things that professionals should have already known the answers to but didn't, things that seemed common sense to us that it was hard to get past or pulled through, and all of that. For instance, we had I started getting letters from HOA. True story. I started getting letters from HOA stating that our roof was not in compliance, and this is what it looked like. Duh. All the while, though, we knew God was with us. Why? Because I remembered. In January, he said, get the paperwork out of your attic. In April, he said, book it. You know what? I didn't even have to pay for the vacation. Isn't that great? He just didn't want us to be home when lightning struck the house. Why did we have to have our house struck by lightning? That question will bring a hard heart very quickly. But when I ask the question, who was with me through it all? Man, my heart softens. Jesus warned the disciples. He said, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Those guys have hard hearts. Those guys have become mean in their heart. And what is he saying? As a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, so does threat, not properly dealt with, harden your whole heart. Have you forgotten how he prepared you for the storm? Have you forgotten the details that he took care of so that you could make it through that situation that you did make it through? Have you forgotten who was with you through it all? May God grant you a moment of clarity today to look back and remember he's been there all the while. May he grant you the ability to see, hear, and understand, and remember what he's done for you. May God help you to do that. May God pierce your heart with a spear of truth and peace as you remember he was there, and he will always be there, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there for you. That's a scripture that I continually remind him of. God, you promised you'd never leave me. You promised you'd never forsake me. I'm reminding you of it today. You see, God knew that person was going to cheat on you, and he made a way. God knew it. God knew that spouse was going to leave you, and he never left you. God knew about your kids. He's never left you. God knows about your job loss. But he has a plan and a purpose. God knew about your disease, and he's taking care of you. God knows about the storm, not just the past, but he knows the storms for your future, and he will be with you. And it's time to remember what he's done. James David, would you come? And today, the invitation is to let the tip of his spear pierce your heart. You see, the tip of his spear brings healing. There's not venom in it. It's healing. Jonah had a hard heart. Y'all remember the story of Jonah and the whale? It's more like Jonah and the big fish. Jonah hated the Ninevites. Absolutely hated them. His heart was so hard. Now, they were an awful people. They were so bad that God was going to have to wipe them off the face of the earth just to keep the awfulness of humankind from taking over civilization, as we talked about last week. God was going to have to destroy all of them. But God was giving them one more chance. So he called Jonah, a man that hated them, a man with a hard heart. He called Jonah and he said, Jonah, go preach to these people. So Jonah got on a boat, but he went the absolute opposite direction. And he said, no way. What's interesting is God could have called another preacher. God could have called another prophet. He could have called somebody that cared about the Ninevites to go preach to them, couldn't he? Surely there was somebody. But he called Jonah. You see, God wasn't just trying to reach the Ninevites. God was trying to reach Jonah. God wanted to deal with his hard heart. And you know the story. Jonah ran the other direction. He got in a boat and went the absolute opposite direction. And God sent a huge storm. And he ended up in the water. And he ended up swallowed by a fish. And there he is, sitting in the belly of a fish. You can only imagine how smelly this was. It's dark. Now, every picture you've seen of Jonah inside the whale, he's sitting there with a candle. Don't believe it. How would he have lit the candle? I mean, here's Jonah's account of the fish, being in the fish as it was recorded. He said, the seawater closed over me. The water covered my mouth and I could not breathe. I went down, down deep into the deep sea. Seaweed wrapped around my head. I was at the bottom of the sea, the place where the mountains begin. I thought I was locked in this prison forever, but the Lord my God took me out of my grave. God, you gave me life again. My soul gave up all hope, but then I remembered the Lord. I prayed to you and you heard my prayers in your holy temple. Some people worship useless idols, but those statues never help them. I will give sacrifices to you and I will praise you and thank you. I will make special promises to you and I will do what I promise. Salvation only comes from the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited him out of its stomach onto dry land. Some of us are in that fish today. You know, we've been there. We've been frustrated. We've been hurt. There's been a lot of stuff going on, not just in our world, but in our personal lives as well. And we look back on our lives, and it's so easy for us to just forget about seeing God. But I'm asking you today, look back and see where God took care of you. God was there all of your life. Remember He's there. Remember what He did, and He will deliver you. And you might get vomited out today, but He's going to deliver you. He's going to bring peace to you. You see, the disciples, it wasn't about the fish and it wasn't about the bread. It was about their heart. For Jonah, it wasn't about the fish. It wasn't even about the Ninevites. It was about his heart. So here's the question. What is the condition of your heart today? I got to be honest with you. I struggle. I have dreams. People that betrayed me. They show up every now and then. Am I alone? Failed dreams. My own sin. My own threats. It's so easy. But it's also just as easy to let him touch it with the tip of his spear and bring healing. So today, would you just take a few minutes, bow your heads? I want you to look back on your life. It's so easy to just remember the bad stuff. But can you look and maybe see where it was God that got you through that? Can you? Do you see the details? things that he took care of that you and no one else could. God, today we don't ask why anymore. There's plenty of scriptures to help us to understand that if we have a soft heart. We can understand why. But that's not the question we need to ask. The question is who? And it's you. We thank you for taking care of details that we had no idea needed to be taken care of. For preparing us for the storms of life. Thank you. Touch our hearts with the tip of your spear today and pierce. Inject your healing. We've tried it our way long enough to know that it doesn't help and it doesn't work. So today we choose to soften our hearts towards you. And we ask you for help and healing and strength. God, I sense that there's someone that's watching online right now that just needs to know that you hear them. You were there when it happened. And you got them through. Help them to see that today. Then they can understand why. The question today is who? And it was you, God. You got them through. Now, God, bring healing. In Jesus' name, bring healing. Thank you. God, we trust you with the rest of our lives. And we give you our past. And while the rest of the world runs about, we're your children, whole and healed in Jesus' name. Thank you for peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.